This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Kusha Navadar in for Allison Stewart, who's on medical leave. We're going to end today's show with some new music. 31-year-old London-based soul, jazz, R&B singer Jordan Rockeye has a new album coming out next month titled The Loop. Now, some of you might remember his well-received 2019 album, Origins. It explored the impacts of technology on humanity, and it featured songs like Say Something, Speak, and Mind's Eye. Let's take a quick listen to Mind's Eye. Here it is.
These voices all in my head, never to whisper again, never to sing me to sleep, oh, but a dream. Right there, caught out in the rain, drenched in a memory.
Since then, Jordan's performed on NPR's Tiny Desk in 2020. In 2021, he released his fourth studio album. It was called What We Call Life. And in a few weeks, on Friday, May 10th, his fifth studio album, The Loop, is coming out. Jordan's a vocalist, a multi-instrumentalist, a songwriter, and a record producer. And he's right here with us to talk about his new album. Hey, Jordan, welcome to All of It.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Glad to have you here. Tell us.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Tell us about the title a little bit. Where'd The Loop come from?
So The Loop sort of signifies the story for me of parenthood. The whole album was a story about my reflection on my parents and my reflection of becoming a new father, and also the sort of abstract concept of fathering the inner child. And it's like the cycle of life. We're sort of rolling through this life. And, you know, my child might have a child, that child might have a child, and we're just sort of on this journey, and I'm surrendering to that moment. So The Loop is sort of like symbolizing the cycle of life in the way, and surrendering to that parenthood.
So part of your inspiration for the album was when your son was born. Was that kind of the impetus that started the album, or was that when the title itself took shape? Tell us about that.
So that was definitely the impetus, yeah. So when he was born, I took 4 months off, and I was sort of around... and then when I started writing the very first demo and starting the whole process, I always like to begin the whole album process with like a concept. And obviously at a time like that, when he had such a huge impact on me, it just naturally poured into the songwriting and the sort of musical choices. So it was a natural sort of journey to take. And yeah, after writing the fifth, sixth, seventh song, it became clear that the whole album was going to be about sort of me becoming a father and me learning about all elements of parenthood, yeah.
It's funny because I heard in an interview you did with Danny Painter, who's a radio host in South Africa, you said that you like to go into a new album with a challenge in mind. Did you have a challenge in mind when you started The Loop? Was it, you know, becoming a father and this is how it will sound in music? Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I set myself a couple of rules, actually. And so one of the rules was trying to be as most vulnerable and honest as possible in the storytelling side of it with the lyrics. And like my message I was trying to get across. And then the other sort of rule I set myself was like, I really wanted to embrace acoustic instruments again in a room, in like big rooms full of musicians playing full takes, like embracing live energy again, because I feel like music these days, and definitely even in the past with me, can become very computerized. And I wanted to sort of like humanize music for me. So I just got in a room full of lots of musicians and we sort of played these songs as a big collective, and it was so much fun sort of like even making those mistakes and sort of seeing the humanity in that recording process.
I love that idea of like preserving humanity in the recording process. Was there something new that you wanted to try either with your vocals or the instrumentation to get at that sense?
Yeah, there was like, it was on a sort of technical thing, sort of recording a lot of tracks to no clicks and not being sort of regimented in like the computer base driving the time, sort of ebbing and flowing with the tempo of the drummer and percussionist, for example. And another thing was sort of replacing synthesizers, which I've used a lot in previous music, with like natural orchestras, big horn sections. And I was just trying to like basically create the most acoustic sound I could. So they were two new challenges I tried to face.
Let's listen to a song from the album. If you're just joining us, this is All of It. We're talking to vocalist and multi-instrumentalist and songwriter, producer Jordan Rakai. His new album, The Loop, releases Friday, May 10th, so in a few weeks. We're doing a listening party and hearing some of that music. Let's listen to a song. The track is titled Learning, and it features what KCRW called a heart-tugging orchestral section, haunting choral backup. Let's take a listen.
When all the people of the world have a dream, as they've always longed to live in meritocracy, and the leaders of the free are not who they claim to be, still one of those sad, sad mysteries. We saw borders classify all those foreign lands in a war where families bled right through those summer sands. So to keep one soul alive, they must conquer and divide, with no apologies to rectify the state of mind. If my head gets sore, it feels easy to run away from the rest of the world with my secrets. When my knees get tired, I'm still searching for space right here between the lines, for the learning. Space is here for the
learning.
Give it up.
We're talking to Jordan Rakai, the multi-instrumentalist and vocalist. His new album, The Loop, releases on Friday, May 10th. That was the song Learning from the album. Jordan, you talked before about how the impetus of this album was from the birth of your son. And first of all, just congratulations. I don't know if I mentioned that before, but just congrats on
you.
That. Yeah, absolutely. I'm wondering, how has becoming a father informed your music?
That's a good question. It's done it in a few ways. So it's made me really be more content and proud of sort of my own expression, because when you're a musician, and I have lots of musician friends that go through this, you sort of spend a lot of your career trying to impress your peers or your management or your label or even your friends or whatever. But having a son sort of really calibrated my mindset, being like, I only have to really, not that I even have to impress my son, but there is only one really person that I really care and trying to sort of be myself to, if you know what I mean, other than my wife. But it's like being more true and honest was a big thing. So like the whole writing process was a huge experience for me to sort of like tap into that subconscious way of thinking. And another thing, even like on a logistical level, like obviously having a son is tricky because I'm trying to be present as a father, but at the same time, I'm trying to be like really efficient as a songwriter and producer. So it's like I was learning how to sort of allocate times in between naps to like write my choruses. And I was like juggling the childcare mixed with the sort of like songwriting, which was really fun. At the same time, it was like challenging, but it made me really efficient in the songwriting process, if you know what I mean. So
yeah,
there's lots of challenges, but lots of growth for sure as a songwriter.
I'm sure that every parent right now that has had a job while they were also doing childcare, or you know, just doing childcare, is probably nodding their heads right now with you being like, yeah, you got to learn how to juggle for sure. What did you learn from that process? How did you approach it? What did you find made you efficient as a songwriter and present as a parent?
That's a good question. And it's something I'm still trying to like push myself to do today. But I think the main things that were really helpful as a musician was sort of setting boundaries of when I would start a day and when I would end a day and when the day had ended. On the music side of things, I wasn't allowed to sort of think about it or do any emails or consider going to the studio in my garden. It was very much like from this time onwards, I'm here, I'm present, I'm going to be cleaning up all the mucky food on the high chair and I'm going to be changing his nappy and all that sort of thing. I really just wanted to try and live that hybrid lifestyle, because like I said at the start of this conversation, I had spent that first 4 months completely no working and was there all the time during the days, and I loved it. And so getting back into writing, I sort of missed spending that time with him. So in a way, like creating those boundaries and routines really helped me get that sense of more like life experience with my son and my family and like my wife, versus like feeling like too engulfed in the creative process, which is very easy, especially when you're making an album. So I found a good balance for sure.
You know, you talked at the beginning about how one of your goals with this album was to be as vulnerable as possible. And I'm sure that music allows you to explore themes within your personal life. It's a form of expression. Were there subjects or are there subjects that felt too intimate for you to share? Or did it actually enable you to access all of those intimate experiences, feelings?
Yeah, that's a really good question. And there was a song I was writing, and it started off sort of about my childhood and then the growth of me as a person, meeting my wife, changing countries. And then things happen in our marriage, and the song sort of ends the full circle moment with like having a son and the amazing sort of journey to look forward to. And I remember writing that song feeling really, really vulnerable. Like I was even struggling to write the lyrics on the page. And when I was singing them, I was getting like emotional and thinking I'd never really had that experience before, writing so openly and feeling so naked, if you know what I mean. But when I wrote it, I felt so connected to the song, not like I had really felt like that before. And then I had this sort of epiphany, like, oh damn, this has to be released and now shared with the public, and I have to like pour my heart out to all these people. But in a way, I'm sort of more proud of that. I'm sort of more excited for people to hear that side of me, like the really inner workings of my crazy mind. So yeah, I'm really just proud of diving deep into that whole vulnerability world. And yeah, my growth in that element has been massive since having a child.
Yeah. If you're just joining us, we're talking to Jordan Rocky, who's a multi-instrumentalist and vocalist. The Loop is his new album. It releases Friday, May 10th. Jordan, you released a song for your new album titled Freedom. I'd love to listen to a bit of it, but tell us about the song first. What did you want listeners to feel when they were listening to it?
So when I was making this song, I was thinking about the sense of freedom for me, especially thinking about this whole parenthood concept, was having that sort of childlike energy. I remembered all the times I sort of felt most free in my life was sort of running around my garden with my brothers or playing with my friends. And in a way, I wanted to like tell that story of the optimistic sense of freedom through the lyrics, but also I wanted to try and like capture it sonically with like more of an upbeat feel and like a euphoric energy with like the choir and the clapping and the party nature, just sort of like a good vibe was the idea around it, and trying to like embrace that childlike nature in all of us. Cause I feel like we all have it, but we get sometimes pressured down by the world and you lose sight of it. So it's sort of talking about like embracing that inner freedom and that inner sense of child.
Let's listen to it. Here is Freedom.
When the pain stops, freedom strikes the good. Freedom likes it tough. Freedom's had enough. Freedom calls your bluff. If you understand that freedom's in the quiet. Freedom when the pain stops. Freedom strikes the good. Freedom likes it tough. Freedom's had enough. Freedom calls your bluff. If you understand that. Making no sense, like I'm gonna share. See the big fat bear in the mirror. Got me amused, cause I don't feel dreaded. You thinking I care? I cannot speak it any clearer.
That was Freedom from the multi-instrumentalist and vocalist Jordan Rocky. And, you know, Jordan, last month you tweeted something I really appreciated. You said, if you're struggling for new music, go and research your idol's influences. And when I read that, I was just wondering, who is that for you? Do any names come to mind?
Well, yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, definitely. So I grew up listening to D'Angelo, for example, and but I had rinsed D'Angelo like too much in my life, to the point where like I knew every lyric of every song, every chord. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back and read interviews where he talks about his idols. And basically I went and listened to Prince and Sly and the Family Stone and George and Parliament Funkadelic. And it's so abstract, sort of hearing weirdly myself through those artists who I'd never really dived that deeply into. Obviously, I listened to quite a lot of Prince in my life, but it was like, and then I did that with every single artist that I would call some of my pillar influences. And then I discovered so much, you realize there's so much music backwards. Sometimes you're looking for new music a lot, but there's so much old music to discover, especially for like new generations as they keep coming. So that was me sort of passing the torch to anyone now, being like, go and listen to some old stuff, because it's just amazing what was written back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. Yeah,
absolutely. In another song, Friend or Foe, you build up brass instruments, and it's wonderful to listen to that juxtaposed to Freedom, where you're talking about a choral choir, because, you know, you're talking about 60s, 70s music. You can definitely hear that brass influence come through. Let's take a listen to that song right now.
If a friend or a foe, only someone that you know, disappears from the soil of this field, then only then will you know that a version of yourself will fade away and never reappear. So if they're close, hold on to the ones you trust, 'cause this world can cut the roots of your love. Give the goods to yourself, 'cause you know you've been through hell. What's left of visions called for show and tell. Whatever it is, whatever you say, will it hurt to reach out here to make a man? I show my love to the very end. 'Cause there's a fire with no flame, with this embers in my name, 'cause I ran away.
That was Friend or Foe from the new album, The Loop, from multi-instrumentalist and vocalist Jordan Rakai. It gets released Friday, May 10th. Jordan, I'm just curious, what was the first instrument you learned to play?
It was piano. It was because my neighbor was going to get rid of it, and my dad just asked if we could have it back when I was about 5 years old. So they gave us a piano, and that was the start of it all.
Oh, that's funny. That's how I ended up learning piano too. It's just I ran into a random piano that no one else wanted. That's wonderful. How many instruments do you play now?
I play piano, I would say, as a main instrument. I can play maybe bass, guitar, drums, a couple of other instruments just to get by on a production and songwriting level, but I would never really session and play those instruments live, but I can dabble in a few things for sure.
How helpful is it for you to play all of those instruments when you're self-producing an album, which is quite a feat?
Oh, it's actually really important, because when I used to self-produce everything and play all the parts, especially when you're an upcoming artist, when you have low budget, having the ability to sort of fulfill the idea that was in your head on every instrument is really helpful, because then you can sort of paint your whole world of your sound, because sometimes obviously people are limited by what instrument they can play or who they're connected with as collaborators. So even when now I work with other musicians, I'm able to sort of articulate specific things for each instrument that I'd like or that might work better for the song. So I would say, it's a huge asset for me for sure.
Yeah. And you know, your career has kind of gone international over the course of your life as well. I mean, you were born in New Zealand, you grew up in Australia and moved to the United Kingdom. To put yourself out there as a musician in 2015, what are some of the biggest lessons you've learned while working in the music industry this last decade?
Wow. Good question. I would say for sure, I think what I've really learned from myself and also people that I really look up to is the London attitude of sort of really grinding away, constantly writing, constantly collaborating, constantly working with other musicians and sort of building your own sort of portfolio. I think I've worked with a lot of people here that are so driven to just release an album every year, you know, and like just work and release and never be too attached to that sort of like perfectionistic culture. And especially as the world has become even more fast paced in terms of like consuming things, Not to encourage artists to just like jump on that trend and just release anything, but I think it sort of gives us a nice challenge to be able to like keep up with the speed of the modern world. And that's what London, I feel like, has really given me, is like the drive and motivation to just work hard and work fast and constantly collaborate and get as much music out as possible.
And you're starting a tour in Europe right now, is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
And do you have any plans to come to New York by any chance?
Definitely. We're hoping to come for sure at some stage this year. It's all getting wrapped up, but I'm really excited to finally be coming back to the States for the first time in about 5 years now. So yeah, super excited.
So, you know, question on air, not to put pressure on you, but when you do come to New York, would you be willing to come to WNYC Studio 5, maybe do a live performance? We can hang out a little bit together, talk about your music.
Absolutely.
What do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah. Any track you want me to play, any setup, we'll do it for sure. Yeah, be grateful to.
Well, game, set, and match. I'm excited to see you when you come in. We've been talking to Jordan Rockeye. His new album, The Loop, is released Friday, May 10th. Let's go out on a little bit of music. But before we do that, Jordan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Let's listen to a track, Flowers. Here it is.
Said it twice, now I know it could. When I looked into your
Passover is coming up, and tomorrow we'll talk about how the lessons of the Passover story resonate with some of today's most pressing issues. This was all of it. Thanks so much. Have a great day. See you here again tomorrow.
Now I say I never can be the best.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.